This is professional radio, gentlemen.
That would and be it's front wheel drive.
Scotty, have you got anyone you want to thank?
Just myself.
And now we do the after hours.
Gentlemen, what would you go for?
Thanks to your sin, dude.
Okay, and because it's not a supercar.
But it is.
It's not.
Automotive perfection comes in the form of two letters, A and U.
Long live my LTD.
Welcome to Car Talk. It's Tuesday night here on 98.9 Northwest FM. I'm in studio with Tyrone Cabral, online with David Prince and Mr. Edward Bunting. How are you, gentlemen?
Good evening, all.
Good.
Very well indeed. Thank you, boys.
Good to hear. Good to hear. Busy week for everybody, as it normally is, looking at TX3s, not buying TX3s, which was quite interesting. Tyrone, you've got more winning plans happening on the way?
No, yeah. So, yeah, a lot of planning at the moment, so yeah.
It's a busy time.
I still can't get my head around this, Tyrone.
are you just upset you missed out, Edward? You are a little bit, aren't you?
Well, you know, I had my chance, but it's also like just, you know, how quick it's, you know, like I could go a decade and not meet anyone that I thought was suitable. And Tyrone's met two people in that time that are suitable. It's bang, you know. Maybe I'm too fussy. Maybe you've got no standards.
Maybe
you need to grow a beard, as we discussed last week.
Maybe
you need to grow a beard.
I shaved this morning, actually. I've got rid of
it. It's all about the beard, Bunting. All about the beard.
Yeah, all right. I'll just keep being depressed. Next.
Let's get straight
into it. Is there a date, Tyrone? Is there a date?
Yes, there is a possible date next year in February.
Nice
time of year. Yeah, good.
Yep.
I think the more important question is what cars are we thinking for the...
Oh, yeah, what cars?
Yeah. Look, it's just going to be limos, I reckon. Nice. I'm not going anything.
I get one of those Hummer limos. They're so not classy. They look awful.
Well, they're the only ones that fit like 18 people.
Ryan, come on. You're better than that. Get a classy limo.
Like true. What?
Get a Rolls or something. Like
anything that's not a Hummer.
How many seats?
What about a fleet of Turagos?
A fleet of Turagos.
Classic Turagos.
Yeah. I'll probably not get married then.
I would go a Benz limo if you could.
Yeah, Benz limo, yeah.
Or a Bentley or a Benz limo or a Rolls limo. That's classy. Hummer, no classy. I'd rather get Ubers than a Hummer.
What about LTDs? LTDs, Hummers.
I'd even go an LTD over a Hummer, and that's saying something.
Yeah.
Now we'll see what we can come up with, but yeah. Yeah, so that's
can you not make it the last weekend in February?
Because we're in Adelaide, aren't we, David?
Yes, Matthew, we are.
Yes, we are.
Yes. The last weekend, what's that?
Oh, the 23rd and 4th or something? 24th and
5th? No, it won't be. We'll be before that.
Okay. Just chicken.
Yeah, we have a lovely seaside.
One does need to arrange one's calendar well in advance for these events.
Did you go the first year, Matt, to...
I didn't.
But who went that first year? We're talking, by the way, listeners, about going across to the Adelaide Classic Japan Car Show, which me, Tom, there was someone else.
Michael Hanley.
Oh, Hanley. That's the other one. Hanley.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. So four of us went over for that. We stayed and we went to the Ballarat swap meet on the way.
Oh.
Then, which was very good.
Epic.
Yeah, that was great. But they don't do that anymore.
No more.
Oh, really?
That was quite happening time that we all got to have a great time and might not be repeated.
It's so weird because it's such a huge swap meet. Like it's acres of car parts.
Yeah. Yeah, I heard about it. It's huge, yeah.
But a lot of them are the same car parts David and I discovered. Yeah,
there were a lot of Gemini hubcaps and Gemini, HZ tail lights for some
reason. Like HZ Holden tail lights. And it's just like every store had a few ratty things and they're all these just ratty Holden parts. Yeah,
but,
funny.
But you said it was quite a good swap meet though. They had lots of other stuff too.
Yeah, I bought a handful of things. There were some interesting things there.
You bought the hubcaps to the caravan?
Did. And Tommy, I bought him that present of the Range Rover diagnostics thing. Which is, yes, getting a lot of use. Good for a while. I bought a few model cars, I think. I bought a brand new Turago badge in its plastic, you know, never used. That was cool. Anyway, so no, it was good, but it's overwhelmingly huge. So anyway, they don't do that. So next year we won't be doing that. We'll just be going straight to Adelaide.
What cars have you taken there? I was thinking of taking the MR2, but I don't know if you guys wanted to take do your trip from 30 years ago, Mr. Prince. And
well, we'd have to take 5 days to get there and go via Swan, Ballarat, yeah. and all those different places. Actually, it would be nearly 30. No, it's not 30 years quite. The year after will be 30 years since we did that. So yeah.
Well, I think for the
30th, that'll be the one. We'll aim for that one for 30 years.
I think for the 30th year, we should definitely do that. No, that'll be.
That will actually mean that the year after, that's 30 years of the Grand Prix in Melbourne at Albert Park.
Wow,
that's nuts.
They've just extended that, I think, for another 8 or 10. I heard.
Okay, well, if 95 was the last year in Adelaide, so.
Right. Yeah, well, we can decide what cars to take. You know, it's. I'm thinking Honda City, maybe.
Oh yeah, I think MR2 this time around for me. And then we can all do Scamps for the 30th year of David's. Yeah. David's.
Well, we're starting with Scamp Camp later in the year, and then we'll that'll be the test run for the big event.
Mind you, right? You know how I uploaded the my new shirt design. Which I was alluding to last week about gift for Edward Bundy. So it was a Scamp Camp. Inverted commas T-shirt that you can play, and it was basically features our three scamps on there. Anyway, I put it on. I called it Scam Camp, and for all you lovers of N360s and 600s, I get an email about 20 minutes later.
Well, all of us are on the call, Matt. There's no one else.
I know. I get an email like legit at 20 minutes later saying it's been taken down for offensive content, and I'm like. I'm like, what do you mean taking down for offensive content? And I Google what the word scamp means, and it's not even that bad. Like I'm like it's an American site, so they're like, oh, that's not kosher. Sorry guys. So so basically they took it down.
What does it mean?
It's just like a little rascal kind of thing. Like that's virtually what
a scamp is, like a naughty sort of mischievous elf or something.
Yeah. And it was like taking down for offensive. For offensive content. So I'm going to re-upload it and not call it Scam Camp. I'm just going to call it N360 N600 T-shirt.
Appreciation Society.
Where did you upload it to, Matt?
To our Teespring store, which is
that an American hosted thing?
It is American because they make them to ship. But Edward, you said there's a place we can get them from here anyway that we can definitely sort out. So
oh yeah, absolutely.
So we'll aim for that. But yeah, I just thought I'd tell you guys that I thought that was a bit weird.
Well, this show is cutting edge, isn't it? Really, I mean, it's like out there.
Scamp.
Yeah, I couldn't believe it. I was for offensive content. I'm like, what's
it's
offensive?
Sort of like the word minx, like a bit naughty, mischievous. You know, a minx,
But like minx is more risque than scamp. Like scamp just means rascal. Like it's just like that was for me made no sense. But anyway, welcome to PG-13 America. So
yeah.
But anyway, unbelievable. But anyway. So yeah, I'm thinking of taking the MR2 next year. I think that'd be a fun run. I think it'd be good to. I've never done many long distance drives in that yet. So that'd be a nice way to break it in. I've got good working aircon, so I'll be fine. I'll be happy. So yeah, that would be very, very good.
Just take out ROCV.
I have
total cover.
Okay.
Maybe we need to go the long way across and do the
Barossa Valley.
Well, I was going to say the Great Ocean Road on the way across.
Can do. A little bit of winery. Well, if we're not doing the swap meet on the way over, you could go a bit longer and take some scenic roads and then cut across, yes.
See, well, I did take the Forester like 2 times ago, the second last time before when I went to Adelaide when I drove there. Because last time was in the Typhoon, I went straight there on Christmas Day. But I took the scenic route with my sister when we went and we did the Great Ocean Road and the Forester. That was cracking. And we went through Warrnambool. Mount Gambier. It was lovely. It was a really, really lovely trip. Both her and I really, really enjoyed it. So I think having some really cool cars on that drive there would be pretty, pretty cool. So I'd be keen for that. We are joined by Scotty as well. Scotty, how you doing?
I'm doing okay, fellas. How's everyone else?
Good, mate. Very, very good. We're just talking about next year's classic. It's just the All Japan Day. In Adelaide. Yep. So
run by Iron Chef. Imports.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yep, I know the one. It gets huger every year.
Huger and huger.
Huger and huger.
Yes. So you're gonna have to bring the B4, Scotty, and be drive it there and be all good. Let's get into some car updates, gentlemen. Let's start with Mr. Edward Bunting. He's on the top left of my
screen. Hello. Good evening, Paul. What have I done? Well, Barry Bellina has been sold. Yes, to a very nice, mother and son combination who basically said, I rang up and had a conversation, said, I want it. Here's a deposit. Didn't come and drive it, didn't come and look at it, literally said, get the roadworthy and we'll come pick it up. So they did.
Wow.
It's a very easy sale, which I was totally comfortable with that because the car was a glamour. You know, it was beautiful. So I sort of thought, well, they're not going to get here and not like it. It's one of the cleanest 02 Bellinas you're ever going to find. So I think, you know, it's not like they sort of roll, oh, there's a scratch here, there's a scratch there. Like they were wrapped with it, you know, as I sort of knew they would be. So normally you'd kind of go, well, hang on, come look at it first. And
yeah, that's right.
Make sure you're comfortable. But I was so comfortable with that car that I thought they're not going to be disappointed. So that's good. So I have no more stock at the moment other than the Prado, but as mentioned previously, I'm going to hang on to that for a bit and then punt it next year after a trip up north. I've got a friend's Hyundai i30 that I'm just helping her sort out. Her husband passed away and I'm helping her sell that. So that's an 08 i30 hatch SX, which is your base model in a manual in a 1.6 turbo diesel. It's done 160K. I think I mentioned it last week. It drives remarkably well, that car. You know, there's no rattles and squeaks and it's tight and it sort of feels almost better quality than a Corolla of the same period, really. And, you know, yeah, from all reports, I sniff around on those cars and it seems like that they are a really good thing. They're petrol or diesel or manual auto, they seem to be well respected in the second-hand industry. So, you know, that's going to be like $6,000-ish. And I thought, gosh, it's a remarkably good car for that money if you wanted a commuter.
I actually think those i30s are better quality than the same era Corolla. Published Corolla wasn't a good car.
No, they weren't great. No. They weren't great. My friend whose mum it is, who has this car, she had one of those Corollas, like an 07, and I drove that numerous times, and I never liked it. The gear shift and the clutch and the drive-by-wire throttle, whatever it was, it just wasn't smooth. It didn't feel like a good Japanese car at all. Whereas this Hyundai, it's really hard wearing. The seat material and the door trims and everything feels good in it. I like it.
Were the diesels Korean built, do you know, or European built? Because there are a few European.
I don't know. I didn't know any different, but
I don't know.
But yeah, impressive little car for the money. So I'm getting a few things done. Like it's had a new screen. I've just had it serviced. It will have a new driver's mirror. The glass has come out, so we'll just get the glass replaced. And what else am I doing to it? Oh, two rear tires. I think that's all it needed for roadie. It's actually got Veloster wheels on it, which are that dark charcoal color. So there are 17. I think originally there might have been a 15. 15, yeah. And so the previous owners to my friends did that to it. But it looks quite good. It suits it because it's a plain white car with the charcoal sort of Veloster wheel. And it's got the black door handles being the base model. So with the black handles and the dark wheels, it sort of all ties in and, you know, gives it a bit of an edge, I suppose, over a plain Janer.
You've just got to find someone wanting a manual diesel. And probably a lot of people don't think of i30s as a manual diesel.
No, they don't, I think. Yeah, auto petrol is where their brain probably goes. Perfect car for someone up country, you know, who just does highway Ks and so economical and, yeah. I think great for that. Anyway.
What sort of mileage have you noticed what mileage you're getting?
I haven't, I've only driven it a handful of times, but reportedly they're in the fours, you know. Well. And on a highway run, you'd be down 4.1, 4.2, I think.
Yeah, wow.
It's pretty good. You know, something like that.
And some manual diesels are sort of, you know, it doesn't suit the car because they're quite torquey and you find yourself always changing gear and it's just not seamless. This one, the ratios and everything feel pretty good. So it's not I didn't find it a hard car to drive.
Well, it's just interesting. I don't know from that era, like, you know, like I think from the gets, the Guest was like a big turning point car, and we've discussed it before on this show.
Yeah,
Hyundai, like the Guest really brought them into the 21st century in a lot of ways.
The Guests were great to drive. They're
a great car to drive. Actually, I think of Hyundai pre Guests, post Guests, and in post Guests they're good.
Post Guests is a good era, definitely. Other car news: I took the Moke on Sunday morning to the inner sanctum of Moke, I'll call it. So the Moke Owners Association Australia have a sort of every six, eight weeks, they do a service day at one of the guy's houses, and he has a hoist in his backyard, in his shed, and all these parts and, you know, every tool you can imagine for Mokes. And so you rock up there and basically they'll put it on the hoist and look over it for you and say, oh, you need this, you need that, or you might want to change a ball joint or do something. So those days are designed for sort of checking it out and maybe doing a bit of work depending on how labor intensive it is. So I was keen to take mine to that day, being the first one I've been to get some other eyes on it, and just go, well, I've been told it needs the front suspension and it needs this, and I know it's got an oil leak, and, you know, is that actually the case? And can you eyeball it? So it's interesting having, you know, six or seven real diehard moke heads who've been doing this for 40 years plus, crawling all over your car. But I'm pleased to say the consensus was really original car, you know, by and large in very good condition. All the things I sort of knew about it, you know, are what they mentioned. So the front suspension's completely collapsed. It's on rubber cones, so they need to be replaced. All of the bushes in the links in the front end and everything need to be replaced. There's not that many of them. It's leaking oil from the diff, where the drive shafts go into the diff. It's leaking oil. The rear main seal, so it'll probably need the gearbox popped off and have that done. The steering rack's got play in it, which I knew about. The exhaust, they sort of agreed with what the mechanic guy said to me. He said it's very hard to get the exhaust on those right, which sounds stupid because they're just basically a straight straight out the back, you know.
Pea shooter, basically.
Exactly, a pea shooter. You think, how hard can it be to get that right? But apparently when the engine sort of mounts are sagged and the suspension's not right and the engine's not sitting exactly where it should, then that exhaust, you sort of need to get all that right first before you can get the exhaust to line up perfectly. And if it's not lined up perfectly, it'll leak from the flange at the bottom because it doesn't sort of flex, you know, it's like a curved join. And unless that's 100% right and all the other stuff right, it'll leak from that flange and you can exhaust fluffy sound, you know, leaking from the front. So they said, look, one way to get around it is to put extractors on it and a flexible joint, and then you won't have that issue and you get a bit better breathing, and, you know, that's one way you can go. So I might look at doing that when I have this next round of works done. That was good. That was interesting. I met some interesting Moke people, and you know, the cars that rocked up, there were maybe six or seven Mokes there all up. They are all very, very different. You know, like one was lime green. It's got a bonnet scoop and big chrome wheels, and, you know, like, they've all been doctored in many ways over the years. Couple of more original ones, but yeah, you won't find two that are the same sort of thing, which was good. What else do we do? I took the Scampi down Saturday morning to the Honda Car Club equivalent, I suppose. That was good. We saw a few people there, and
shout out to my nephew Greg, who's a keen listener to the podcast.
Oh, hello, Greg. He sent
me a message on Saturday afternoon saying, I think I just saw it in the Scamp. I think you might have, because he lives in Dingley. So
does he? Well, that would be me, driving along, yeah.
Indeed.
Yep. Spotted. I think that's about it for cars. What else? I haven't bought anything else. Sort of probably in the market for some, another stock car maybe. So, you know.
Well, look, we've all got computers in front of us. By the end of the night, I'm sure we'll find something.
Yeah, let's find something juicy for Ed to buy. I've got to be able to make money on it, though, so, you know.
Absolutely. Mr. Prince.
Car updates with me. I've had good and I've had bad. So where do we go first? Let's go bad. So the 77 Civic Wagon that I have sitting outside the front of my house and I've fluffed around with for many months now, was a bit of a star at the 50th anniversary of the Civic event. I've fiddled around, done quite a bit, got it running, wheel bearings replaced, replaced all the ignition system, Ventana was the distributor, which is now sorted. Noticed last time I started or drove it, there was no cooling. I thought, well, that's a bit strange, because that was one thing that when I picked that car up, it had bright green coolant, nice radiator. Anyway, long story short, I pulled the dipstick out and it looked a bit like a caramel latte in there. So at some stage, it's now...
Buddy, do you know what that is?
Ooh,
so I think
tell David, what is that, Scott? What is it?
Something that hasn't happened to mine.
No, that's right. I think he did jinx the Scotty, but it wasn't you that he jinxed. It was me that he jinxed. So... But the sad thing is that car's barely been driven. So, you know, I don't know how it's decided to let it go, maybe through lack of use. I don't know. But anyway, diagnosis confirmed last week by a good mate in the club who said, I can do that. That'll be like, you know, a couple of weekends work as long as you're not in a hurry. I said, that's fine. So I'm organising a truck to pick that up and take it up to him. And at the gearbox on Saturday, actually, I was rummaging around looking for something for someone. And came across a whole lot of gaskets and thought, oh, what are these for? Oh, look at that, 77 Civic 1500. That's pretty handy. I'll be taking that home with me, I think. So that's exactly one of the advantages of being in a car club, really. And, I was astounded. I knew they were there, but I had never looked closely to see what they were. But there was written plain as the nose on your face what they were for. So I thought, right, well, there we go. I don't even have to order one now. So that was good. But that wasn't the good bit. The good bit was that someone on Instagram posted, because not surprisingly, I follow a whole lot of people in Japan who have got N1 RSs with six-speed manual gearboxes. And I posted a photo a couple of weeks ago. He'd changed the gear boot in his, which is just normally a black vinyl gear boot, to an Alcantara gear boot with orange stitching. Now, keen listeners who know the N1 RS will know that the interior is littered with orange highlights, and so the orange stitching really looks good, and the Alcantara gear boot really adds to it. So, and he put a link to where he got it. So I mentioned it to a good friend who buys a lot of things in Japan, and lo and behold, this week, one arrived in my lap. So I've following the theory of, you know, build it and they shall come, I now have a part of an N1 RS. So watch this space.
You've got
part of N1, you now have an N1 RS.
Gear boot, yes.
Gear boot.
I also actually have a right-hand NSX tail light. Now that one's taking a bit longer. To land, but, you know,
what is it? People have those walls where you put what is it, like a
vision board?
Yeah, vision board. Like you have things on there that you're really manifesting to happen.
Exactly right. I'm putting it out to the universe. Ed.
I've got a blue with cream pagoda model diecast in my bedroom.
There you go.
A market that's a bit ratty. You know, needs a little bit of love, and I'm like, there. That's my little manifest.
With green. Oh, look what the Shannon's catalog. Oh, even the Shannon's catalog blurs. There you go.
Oh, what a
pagoda on the front cover.
Hello.
It's a bit of you, Bunting.
Keep talking. I'll have a look and see how much that's going for. But I think that's me for the moment. I think that's all my updates.
Scotty,
not too much. The Subaru is still running fine. No dramas there.
He's just letting you know, Edward, that there's no dramas there. He's just making sure that you know.
Maybe you might want to pick up a B4 for yourself.
Good car.
I like it. Thought you would.
I like a Subi.
Just try and find one that doesn't have the twin turbo system still, and you should be right.
They are a vacuum hose nightmare.
Yeah.
One thing, if I may mention, just talking of systems, the Moat guys popped my bonnet on Sunday morning and they couldn't believe that the engine still had the air pump, which was only fitted to late 70s cars, which basically pumped air into the exhaust to make it cleaner burning to pass emissions. And these things sort of notorious. I mean, they worked by and large. The system worked, but it was like they've all seized up and they've all been removed, like, oh, that emissions junk and off it goes. And they said, oh, my God, we haven't seen one with an air pump for 30 years. Like, and I was like, well, at least that shows the car's
pretty original and hasn't had a lot of use, I suppose, in terms of that. But they all said, get rid of it, get rid of it, get rid of it. They said, I'll keep it, you know, put it in a box, you know, like keep the parts, but just remove air pump. And I'm like, yeah, I hear you. I hear you. I'll probably do that. Sorry, Scotty.
That's all right. I think that's it for me. All I did was nearly made Maddie impulse buy something.
Oh, man.
Yes, it was a frenetic couple of hours, that wasn't it?
It was. I got a bit hot under the collar. I was a bit, you know, I didn't know what to think. I was considering life choices. I was like, oh, if I sell this, I can get this, and if I do this, I can buy that. But it was a TX3 Turbo Full Drive KE generation on Grays Online. It sold for $5,500, but it had a written. It was previously written off, and knowing me with those cars. They've all had ridiculously hard lives. They're all like, it was quite common to pull the carpets back on one and find a roll cage, you know, like the remnants of a roll cage in them back in the early days when they came out. So that they were flogged to death. So I was like, oh, yeah, I could, but you know, it didn't say where it was repaired, and I was like, oh, it's too much of a risk. So I thought I'd, you know, I talked myself out of it, and David helped me talk myself out of it. He's like, Matt, you remember what we talked about? So
what did you talk about?
I think 5 is a good number at the moment, Edward, of cars. I think that's...
Yeah, it was less than 24 hours earlier. He was saying, oh, I'm happy with my 5 cars. I'm happy.
I think it's less about that and more because if the right car falls in your lap, sometimes you just got to pounce. But
now we tell.
I'm a big believer of that wasn't the right car. You know, big believer of quality over quantity and, you know, start with a good base. Otherwise, you're chasing your tail and you don't want a car that's a repairable write-off, ideally.
Yeah.
It's so rare that you have to go down that road. Like, I'd rather wait and pay 15 for a cracker than buy a dodgy one for 5 because you just can't, you know, you can't turn that into that for the difference. You know, it makes no financial sense.
You're spot on.
As I did say to Maddie, that
especially when you couldn't check it out.
Yeah.
You don't know what it looked like underneath. It could just be a complete, like, weld and shut case or something, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, like, my Tarago was a repairable write-off at the you know, it didn't qualify because it was too old, but all they'd done was smash the steering column and, you know, like, that was it. The rest of the thing was perfect. Mm. So a repairable write-off isn't necessarily the end of the world, but it depends.
It depends on what it is.
Why it's a repairable
write-off. Exactly. Yeah, at least you knew what it was.
Yeah, I knew exactly what it was, but other people probably maybe. Well, yeah, like it wasn't logged as such because it was too old. It was over 15.
It's like without knowing, and it's on Grays.
Nah, it'll be.
Yeah,
but you don't want that. Kind of,
nah.
Like, what's a cracking one worth?
A cracking KE and a KH. They're about 15 to 20 grand these days.
You know, and it's—I mean, that's not insane money. You're not talking
it's not insane money. No, you're right. It's not.
And you can't take a 5 grander and make it into a 15 grander. Like a few repairs and a bit of paint, and bang, you're there. You know, yeah, so you better just buying a good one.
I reckon we'll see it probably up on car sales, going for about 10 or 11. I reckon.
Hmm.
Without probably anything being done, they'll just sell it.
Same.
Try to about 10 grand, no roadworthy, and that's it.
Yeah.
Well, I'm.
It's Matt's mate actually bought it, I think.
We'll get to that in my car updates. Tyrone, updates with you.
Not much on my side. Just driving it, liking it. Today, actually, went to fill up petrol. The guy at the servo, he seems to be walking in, and he's like. He was like, I love the color. He goes, man, it looks so good, you know? And he's like, yeah, it was all over the car.
And, it's an area. It's an unusual green.
It is.
Yeah. It stands out. Stands out like
absolutely.
But yeah.
So, which green is it? Sorry.
It's the breeze. The breeze, yeah.
Oh, nice.
So it's like, you know, normally greens are either sort of a dark Oxfordy green, like a bit like your hoodie, David, maybe, you know, it's a pretty racingy, dark metallic Oxfordy, or they're a lime green, like a Honda Jazz in that lime green or Mazda 2 in that lime. They're the kind of greens you typically see. Or then there's like an Aqua from the early 90s, you know, on a Discovery or Mazda 626 or the Polynesian green on the Fords. Mm-hmm. This thing is kind of like a
blend of all of these, and you kind of go, is it blue? Is it green? Is it? It's a really unusual.
Oh yeah, yeah, no.
Like there, it almost looks blue. It
looks blue, yeah, exactly, yeah.
But it's green.
Yeah, I've heard of reef green. I haven't. I didn't know the name of that color, but that's brilliant.
Yeah, it's definitely a nice color. I've said this a few times. Like Ford and Holden in that era did some really cool colors. Like they were trying to bring colors back in the B series and FG series and VE and VF series. Like they're trying to really bring like oranges and pinks and purples and greens and
yeah.
It's sort of a tealy color.
It's like a teal, yeah, but it's a metallic teal.
Yeah, I like that it's a color in this dull world.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, apart from white and blacks and grays.
I can't talk. I got a few white cars, but it's not. That's just because how it happened.
Nothing yet to it, just enjoying it, needs a good clean, and that's it, I think.
Me? Well, where do we start? We start with the biggest slap in the face ever, the guy that bought my car off me.
Or the LTD.
The LTD.
Oh, he came back?
No, he put it for sale for $6,500.
Oh, what?
Yeah. So, but here's a kicker, right? He same description, same photos. He didn't even change anything. I don't know if he sold it. I don't know what's happened because now it's been taken offline. So I won't be a very, very, very happy man, put it that way.
You'd be surprised given how long you had it for. Unless someone didn't want to drive out west, you know, maybe you sold it to someone out east, who knows?
Who knows? But I was not impressed. For my own description, my own photos, I was very pissed off.
That's copyright.
Let us leave it at that. I was tempted to send a message and say, "Hey, mate, pull your head in," but I was like, "You know what? He knows where I live. Well, my parents live, so. I didn't want to stir the pot."
Ah, who cares? It's gone, and that's it. You know,
yeah, that's it.
You've got your money's worth, and that's it.
Pretty much.
I don't think, to be honest, I don't think he's going to get that much.
No,
he won't get. Yeah, he's not. You got to have someone really stupid to come and buy it for that much.
Yeah. No, you're right. You're right. So that was the first bit. A good friend of mine I work with, Joe, lovely lady. Well, she stitched me up today, but I'll get to that in a little bit. But anyway, she's got a 2010 Corolla hatch, which she bought brand new. And over the last year, it's done about 160,000 Ks, she's cracked the radiator, a few bits and pieces, the fuel pump went, and a few other bits and pieces have screwed up on her. And then she couldn't get into park, and she's like, "Oh, I don't know." So she took it back to Ratner. And he's like, "Oh, the selector inside the transmission's gone a bit weird. We'll have to fix it properly." Anyway, they didn't have the tool to get to it, so they took it to their connection with the transmission place, and they fixed it. But they said the first gear on it's really how you're going. So the transmissions is where it's pretty much gone. They said it could go at any minute, and she's a bit upset about it. She's like, "Oh, I'll just put all this money back into the car." And now they're saying it's going to be about $3,000 to rebuild it, or a good second handy installed, R&R is about $1,000. So she's like, I'll probably move it on and get something, cause she wants to have another kid. So she wants a bigger car, and they're struggling fitting the pram and all that stuff with the one kid in the Corolla. So she's going to go for something a little bit bigger.
I have an appalling load capacity, that shape Corolla.
So. Oh, horrible.
Wow.
But obviously she's had the car for quite a long time. So it was okay for the one kid, but they're wanting to have more. So they're like, "Yeah, look, it's probably now's the time that we have a reason to upgrade, that we can just, go get something different." So I'm going to take them car shopping this weekend. But she's like, "Oh, do I just piss it off for a couple of grand?" I'm like, "Well, no, they're worth about 10. I said, let's say you put $1,500 into the trans and everything. Because the car is still pretty straight, we'll give it a nice polish, give it a clean, and put it off for sale in car sales, and you'd be able to get, if you get $9,500-$10,000 for it, because it's only done 160,000 K, I think you'll come out all right." But it got me thinking. Like,
did you have that since new, or
she's had it since new? Yeah, it's been a while.
It's like 160 to be that worn in the tranny.
Yeah, that model's not a good car. Like the plastics are really crappy inside. Like both cup holders, they're broken. And to replace the cup holders on that model, you have to take out the whole dashboard. It's a shocking design. So it's not a really good car. And for some context, for those who don't know what that show is, it's the same shape as the Blademaster G, that era Corolla. So she was a bit disappointed. So I mean, it's a poverty pack one, but it's fine. It's been good up until the last 20,000 Ks, and everything's gone wrong. But I remember driving that car a few years ago. I'm like, it didn't feel like a nice Corolla, whereas Corollas usually feel pretty good. So she's after a new car, and I think she's going to get a Forester. I think that's what she wants to get. She's like, it's got enough size for stuff for the kid, and we have a second one. So I'm gonna go help her look at that. But so I'll be helping her sell that car. And I said to her, look, I'm not very good at selling cars. The last car,
no, I'm the same, mate. You don't want to help anyone sell.
So I did say, like, the last one I sold almost took a year to sell. But anyway, that's that. And I think that's pretty much it on mine. I actually wanted to drive the MR2 on the weekend, but I was too busy with work, because I managed the day on Saturday. And so anyway, that's been pretty much my updates. But more or less, I've been a bit annoyed about people using my own photos and using my own my description. Didn't even change. Like, how lazy do you have to be not to even change the description? Like, seriously.
I'm surprised he actually found it. Did you still have it up there?
No, I took it off. I already copied it.
Oh, you probably copied it.
Just frustrating. But he, like, he MS painted like the license plates, because he on my original photos, he just covered the license plates. I'm like, this guy, really? But anyway, that is my updates. Now, gentlemen, talking, I want to discuss tonight about the state of the car industry in terms of electrification, where we're moving to. Now we've discussed electrification many times on the show, but I want to give you guys a story. Now, we know about the second car freight, car freight liner boats.
Yep, roll.
Yep, I think it was called the Fremantle Highway. It has pretty much had 500 EVs on there, and one went into thermal runaway, and they all virtually went into thermal runaway. Now, issue is, People aren't really realizing the dangers, because there are a lot more EV fires than are described, and I'm kind of worried, because I'm thinking about all these new, like, apartment blocks and all these new buildings and stuff, and all these new car parks. You know what they're doing? They're putting EV charging spaces underground, and I'm like, if they go up, which they have, and there's plenty of videos of them. You're not getting out of an apartment building or anything like that. They're catching fire in people's garages. It's a bit of a worry. To be fair, and we never had this problem with petrol cars in SPSA, because they've always had to be safe, because they've got a horrible liquid in them. Now, cobalt and lithium that's some hardcore stuff that's in these batteries, and they're catching fire and they're emitting really, really badly. Now, that is in itself a massive issue, and it's playing a massive issue with the infrastructure. One, because the power to that we're gonna have to make to produce these to power these up. Two, I was at the shops the other day, and it was cars waiting to go to the charge station because there was a line lining them up. So I'm like, that's a bit of a pain. And when they inverticals, when they work. Three, they're going up in flames, and the Fremantle one, there's 500 EVs gone and 500 on board. It's still burning. Like, it's not like a car when they burn and then they go away. Because like a car blowing up is pretty uneventful. Like, the only things that go bang are the tires when they go pop. Like, and then they burn themselves out, and that's it. Whereas EV fires just keep burning and they don't really go out, because they're producing their own oxygen and everything. So.
But that car has that carrier has 3,000 cars on it.
Correct.
So, yeah, it's not just the 500 EVs, it's the other 2,500 cars that aren't getting to where they're meant to be going.
Correct.
Smoke damaged, maybe?
Yeah.
I think smoke damaged.
Yeah, well, I was watching a recent video about it, because I think it's under tug at the moment, getting taken back. Because like the last one that burnt last year, it couldn't be recovered, and it's sitting at the bottom of the ocean currently. So this one, it's still smoldering, but it's burned the whole way through the whole way through the ship. Person has unfortunately passed away. are people realizing that maybe this is a bad idea? Maybe this is not the answer, or because like the prices are coming down on EVs, and believe it or not, the person I was speaking about, Joe before, she flicked me through this thing about this company in Melbourne selling Japanese electric cars that they're importing here, and then they're selling and they're selling for like a lot cheaper. They're selling a lot cheaper because like the rate in which people are just churning through them now is remarkably quick, which doesn't make sense for this is my last point. It doesn't make sense for the point of owning an EV when you're owning an EV to save money, right? So, but the difference in expenditure between an EV and let's say the petrol equivalent, if you're not having it for like over 10 or 15 years, you're not like theoretically, depending on how much you drive it, you're not really getting back that that money that you've spent. So you're really just throwing money away. So is this becoming an issue? And are people realizing they're like, holy crap, we need to do something about that, because having charge at the bottom of shopping centers and the bottom of new apartment buildings and body corporates and all that stuff. Oh yeah, we've got an electric charging bay underneath. I don't think I'd want one underneath my building, because I don't think I'd be able to get out if it catches fire.
A lot of these EVs catching fire while they're being charged. Is that
yes, they are.
Oh, okay.
So I'm a bit skeptical, to be fair. I think we've rushed into it, and now we're saying, oh, okay, they're actually, cobalt is bad for you, lithium bad for you. And don't get me wrong, I'm not hating on EVs. EVs are great. Like they're incredible. They're unbelievably fast. They're technology wise, they're pretty incredible. But I just don't think that the answer, and we've rushed to the point now that we can't backtrack, because in Europe they've committed to 2030 no more I think combustion engines, etc. So we've gotten to the point now of like, have we made a mistake? Especially after that big Fremantle Highway disaster.
Question.
It's hard to put the genie back in the bottle, isn't it?
Yeah, Scotty.
Question on that is. Did they find out with some of those ones on the charging, why? Is it because not maintained, or was it because manufacturers are cutting corners now?
Is it overcharging?
Correct. It was overheating the battery. And batteries have like a certain time, like a certain temperature, like range they can get to, right? So it's quite worrying that if one of that, basically... fails, it's horrendous. But the issue is, it produces its own oxygen and it produces its own fuel. So it's not like you can't just put it out. Like it will just keep producing its own fire, which for me is quite terrifying, because that really personifies, well, I don't know if I'd like that underneath my house or in my garage.
So you'd expect that they'd have some safety measures to make sure that doesn't happen.
But that's the thing; they don't, right? Like
they don't understand. They got it for everything when it comes to cars, even for your gas cylinders for your barbecue. Has safety measures in place in case for the inevitable. Your hot water systems and that do too, and all this. So why don't the cars? What are they cutting? I just feel like there's so many pumping out. They're pushing them that. The whole time that cars are being made, have corners being cut?
Yep.
Yes.
And you've got to ask yourself,
why wouldn't they still be doing it now? Of course they'd still be doing it.
Like, I'm just showing you guys a video now, like how quick this van goes up, and it's on charge, and then bang, you'll just say, there you go. And it pretty much takes everything with it. That's how quick they.
Whoa.
Yeah.
That's a roaring fire, that one.
That's terrifying. Like that's scares the absolute living crap out of me. So the fact that
fire crew are prepared.
Well, I mean,
most of those kind of fires at the moment.
Well, here's the thing, right? They're not. And I was watching the same video, which I'll link to you guys. And I know some people aren't a fan of this person, but he makes a good point here. There was an interview with a fire brigade, with a member of the fire brigade, and. Basically, like they're burning on the trucks, the delivery trucks that are getting sent to dealerships and stuff. Like, there was one where they're interviewing this firefighter, and he's like, talking about this Tesla fire, and he's like, yeah, we just got to wait till it kind of, you know, goes out, because it's just like you it's,
because I think an electrical fire, I don't think you can put it out with water.
You can. It's that's a bit of a well, these type of electrical fires, because it's a bit of a myth. Like they were saying, you can water it and stuff, but the heat is just it's producing its own fuel. Yeah. It's like you kind of just have
to just light back up again.
Yeah,
virtually. So like you just wait it out essentially. And the issue is there was another one of a bus charging. And then there was like six buses in a row, and they all one by one, they just had to let them go, because they couldn't stop it from catching. And that's if this was a car issue, there would be and I kid you not, guys, there would be, you know, heads would be rolling if this was a car company having that. But I think we're all under this EV kind of they're the answer, that we're not seeing it for what it is, like and I'm not hating on EVs, like I genuinely think they're really cool, I love EVs, I just don't think that this is a
sustainable. They haven't taken the safety measures properly. That's probably the main thing of it, you know. They haven't taken the safety precautions to make them basically safe and reliable. Maybe they could. Yeah, maybe they could have, like, where they are charging these car, or where they have the charging bays, to have a better fire system around, you know. So if they do go up in flames, you've got that measure to control it in that area, instead of letting it widespread to other cars parked beside it, or go up into the building or anything like that, you know. But the first point is to obviously fix the issue within the car, so they're not actually catching,
correct,
on fire.
Mm.
That's the first issue.
Car Talk top tip: don't charge your EV at your house. Charge it outside.
Charge
it at a shopping center nearby that's not your house.
Well, it's. Well, I mean, it also comes.
How practical is that long term? If you,
yeah, David.
Well, see, in the UK, I was reading one of the comments on that video. It's like, UK fire brigades are advising against charging electric scooters and bikes indoors for the number of horrendous fires starting from one of these things. So, you know, if they're starting from those, and it's just all or nothing nature, that, you know, that of the EV, this is it. It's all or nothing now. It's frightening. It's actually frightening. Like, it's
phone, right? If it charges, doesn't it turn off? Like.
With the newer ones,
I'm not an electrician, but doesn't it get to a point when it's fully charged, it stops?
With the newer ones, yeah. Not with the older ones, it used to still charge, and then that's when you overcharge your phone and you kill your battery, obviously, as quick as possible. But yeah, the newer ones, they are now making them, as soon as they hit that full charge, they cut off.
Yeah.
But yeah, the bus, yeah.
It's car, like... Combustion engine cars have issues as well, and they get recalled and they get slammed for it. Recalls with these companies, like I feel like there's no repercussions. Like, this has to be an issue of insurance companies. Are they going to pay for that? For, oh, you overcharge your battery, or oh, you left it on charge. Sorry, well, we're not covering you. So I mean, these are serious questions that we need to ask and we need to find out, because if this is going to be our future, which is, you know, from all accounts, as well, that's what it's looking like at the moment. I'm actually.
Someone's got to be held accountable. That's basically.
But no, what's going to happen is, how long is it going to take? What kind of accident will it take for people to realize, oh crap, this is not a good idea. We've lost many lives right now. They can't get out of this apartment building because an EV caught fire underneath, and they couldn't leave because all the bottom level was on fire. For what point, you know, like, will they realize that, you know what, maybe we've made a mistake here, maybe this is not the answer?
You've just said it. You need something like that to happen.
Yeah. It's not a question of if, Scotty, it's a question of when.
Yeah.
And that's the terrifying thing about it. Like, you guys know, I've had a house fire. It's a horrible thing. And people die from house fires every year, and it's, and this, especially from someone that's lived through that, it boggles my mind. It actually terrifies me.
Well, I didn't know how, you know, I hadn't heard about how many fires there were
from charging EVs. I've heard of a few catching fire on boats and things, and you know, like in big boatloads of Teslas and Jaguars or whatever else it is, you know, and one goes up and they all go.
Yeah, but even then, Ed, how does it happen? Like, they're not on charge at that point.
Because the battery has a fault,
exactly.
and it catches fire.
That's the thing. Like, how does it happen when it's not on charge?
It needs to be self-extinguishing somehow. There's got to be like inbuilt foam that when it gets to a certain temperature, the foam releases and it puts itself out.
Mm.
That would be nice. Yeah, I mean, I don't know how common it is. Is it like this has happened 20 times and it's just getting too much media attention and the majority of them are fine and you only hear about the freak accidents? Or is it really more common than we think? I don't know enough about it.
I mean, it's common enough for it to be an issue. Like, this is the second boatload of fire in 2 years. This is this is multi-billions of dollars worth of cars gone. This is fires happening everywhere. And it's been quite – and to be fair, a lot of it's been hushed up because – the government and all these people
want it
to happen. They want EVs to be the solution, right?
So, was it Teslas that caught on fire? Was it one particular brand or
hasn't announced? But Teslas have been caught catching fire. Like, you know, all other car companies, like there's a lot of car companies that have been catching fire. So it's not just. I'm not pointing the finger at one EV company. What I'm pointing the finger at is, you know, is this the answer? Because quite frankly, this is terrifying. Like it's like we're walking ourselves into the ocean and just being like, and not, you know, said, oh, well, you know, I'll see if I can swim, or, you know, going into the boxing ring with Ali just because you think you can box, as a famous word. it's
Jake Paul.
Yeah. But you know what I mean? Right. Like it's quite just boggling that we've just been so quick to adopt it. Yet we see these issues and I get that they are sporadic cases, but they're sporadic enough to pretty much burn to the ground two ships. And, you know, car carriers and all that are catching fire. Not even on charge. On charge, they're catching fire. You know, it's being someone that's been traumatized by fire quite extensively, the fact that we're just like, oh, yeah, let's just put 30 charges underneath an apartment building because we're being sustainable, fingers up. You know,
I'm buying that a building, Maddie. Do not buy there.
Yeah, but like I'm saying it in terms of like humanity, like, this is it's not a question, as I said, it's not a question of if,
but it's not even
it's when it's going to happen.
It's not even Ed, like, even it's not even like buying the building, like, even if you went for, like, they had a restaurant in there or something, you know, and you went there for the night or something,
don't go to any high-rise building.
So just live on the street, so.
You know, these rules.
For example, Chadstone car park, or like, so let's just put Chadstone for example. They've got thousands of cars.
Melbourne Airport's
exactly. Got them. Like, they've got, but they're all enclosed. So the flames just going to expand and go. Like, there's that for me is terrifying. Like, it's actually a really big issue that nobody is talking about right now. And then I think we need to really, really open
it
up.
It'll be interesting to see. I mean, it'll only take someone sort of dying from it, a bit like the Takata airbag recall and what have you, you know, someone, or, you know, a handful of people around the world will succumb to it, and then they'll go, oh, hang on, all right, there's a recall or there's a something, you know. Until then, it's probably, oh yeah, isolated incident, okay, or whatever. So it'll be an interesting time, will tell with that. You'll have to give it probably a couple of years until EVs really take hold, and then see what happens.
Interestingly, as you touched on before, Maddie, the utility prices going up in the UK, the resale value of EVs is plummeting over there.
Yeah,
because it's in some places it's become as expensive to charge a car as it is to put petrol in, and then you have all the compromises, as you've said before, waiting for it to charge, and, you know, a 4-hour trip ending up taking you 6 hours or 7 hours. I can speak from personal experience about that. Yeah, there are flaws to the technology, certainly, and to the experience. What's the answer? Is there a better answer you can think of?
The answer is Lancer. That was their slogan.
It'll probably still be being sold in, you know, 20 years. It's been,
and they're not EV. They're not EV. That's the answer.
No, but see, no. I just want to add to that. I want to add to that point, David. Like, the electricity prices are going up, like, and even they're going up through the roof here in Australia. to the point where, like, is it really worth it? Like, at that point, is the answer a good middle ground, like buying a hybrid? That's not a plug-in, but that's just a standard hybrid that you can just basically, you know, it regenerates itself. It's got a little enough battery, so, you know, if anything does happen, you can get out in time. You know, it's proven technology. Toyota have been doing it for, you know, for almost 30 years at this point. Mm-hmm. So that for me is, that's where I'm kind of seeing that. That's probably more of an answer. I still think hydrogen's a great answer because it just emits water vapor, and hydrogen is in the air. You can get it, it's free. I think that's good, but no one's pushing that.
Won't be cool,
Toyota had, they actually built a car.
Yeah, it's here. The Mirai. Yeah,
they built it, and I don't know. They were planning on doing that before even like electric came out. You know, that was obviously the solution to petrol, but I don't know.
I think the infrastructure just didn't take off as much. As quickly with hydrogen as it did with
was it with particular charges. Water that needed?
No, it just emits water vapor, and it's just like they get the hydrogen. Like there's a way they do it. There's a way they kind of make it happen, but it's
incredibly volatile. That's been part of the problem is storage, and that I think there were a couple of explosions in, I think Norway or somewhere in Scandinavia. I think there was a couple of hydrogen recharging stations that didn't go well. And I suppose there are always going to be teething problems. Long term, you really have to worry about the how it integrates into life and how it sort of sustains or helps you live your life without risk. That's the problem.
As I said, I'm not anti-EV. Like I genuinely like them. I think they're really great. But I'm just, you know, I'm worried that this is where we're heading, and you know, this is
just buy a Tesla and put a barrow in it, and you're off away with it. You got the technology, and then you've got your petrol in there.
I heard of someone that did that.
Yeah, we said it last week.
I just find it. Yeah, I just
are
find
supercars it, yeah. going EV now as well.
No, they're all going hybrid. They're going hybrid because like that extra
still
you know, it's good, but it's like. Yeah. You know, I think hybridity is a really good way of, you know, combining the two.
Hybridity?
Yeah, that's
a word. Is that a word?
It is a word. It is a word.
Hybridity.
Look it up.
You're asking the teacher. The teacher's up.
I guarantee it's probably not going to be a word. This
That's cool, Mr. J.
Maris Cross in our family has good hybridity.
Yeah. I'm gonna Google this in real time. I've heard the word said many times, and I'm like, it's.
Hybrid. It could be one of those made-up words, so people make.
Yeah, hybridity. In the most basic sense, refers to mixture. The term originates from biology and was subsequently employed in linguistics and in racial theory in the 19th century. Basically, there you go, hybridity. So,
so put it in a sentence, Matthew.
Okay, I will look for it in a sentence.
He just did.
I'm trying to find out how to put it in a sentence. Hang on. Hybridity.
Okay. Here's one. I've just come up with one. The Toyota hybrid system has increased hybridity over the early hybrid Toyotas had increased hybridity over the integrated motor assist of the Honda hybrid cars.
There you go.
In that it could run on electric only power as opposed to not.
Yeah.
So it was originally a cross between two separate races, plants, or cultures. A hybrid is something that is mixed, and a hybridity is simply mixture. So yeah, so I guess it is a word. There you go. I've learned you something today, guys. I've learned you something.
Hybridity.
Again, with the increasing prices of electricity at the moment, and the dwindling prices of cars now that are coming down. Do you think they're going to get to the point where it's so cheap that this is my last question for the night before we get into the quiz, that our infrastructure here just cannot cope. And we're, especially in Australia, are not ready to implement a full EV kind of place because we're going to have to get coal stations and stuff happening again to be able to power them. And then that just kind of makes this
defeats the purpose.
Yeah. It's a pointless exercise. So like there's talks of, you know, people going nuclear and doing this and doing that to be able to sustain this. And that's terrifying, bringing nuclear back.
Unless we're just going to have fields and fields of solar panels.
Yeah.
Like what they've done in your Melbourne airport.
We've got the space for that. That's one thing. We do have the space for that.
That's what it is in front of Melbourne, not front of Melbourne Airport, but at the back where they've got the lookout, that whole going up to Sunbury, that whole land is just full of solar panels.
Really?
Yeah, it's just full of solar panels.
Yeah.
So when you're flying in, just before you hit the runway, that's all you see, just solar panels going down.
The other complication with the depreciation on electric vehicles is that they're not only depreciate as electric, the cost of electricity increases, but as over time, the scepter of having to replace the battery also becomes more of a thing too. And
what that's what I was wondering is, like, once an EV basically dies, it's got nothing left of it. Like, how does it degrade?
If you've got to put another battery in it, but there've been some, you know, incredible numbers thrown around as the price for a replacement battery, $20,000 in some cases.
Yeah. Well, you'd rather just buy a brand new car.
and then that's not really very good for the environment, is it? Right. Yeah. Just wrecking a car that's, you know, 8 years old and 10 years old, or whatever it is.
Mm.
Especially looking around the screen tonight, I think between us, we've got probably 200 or 300 years of age of cars. You know that the thought of having a 2012 or 2013 model car that sort of had it and no good anymore. I mean, that's out of my frame of reference.
Mm-hmm.
Some insurance companies in America won't insure you if you've got a charger, an electric car charger in your garage now.
Really?
Oh,
I heard that.
No.
Wow.
Just do
your neighbor's bell.
Just plug it in on the side, get an extension cord across, and that's it. That's how you really save money.
I guess the thing is, when it comes to cars, you're going to have some that the engines aren't the best, you know, a bit of a lemon. But that's not going to kill you. If you're going to have faulty batteries, because I don't think the standards of them being kept is going to be at a super high level.
Exactly.
They're pumping out these things. There's going to be dodgy ones.
Mm-hmm. There's dodgy ones in cars, Scotty. Yeah. Like you get lemon cars. Like it's a thing. Yeah. It happens.
The first probably like 50,000 or so would be good. And then once they get that mass production going, the quality drops, and then that's when you start seeing all those faults happen.
But here's the thing that I think Scotty's alluding to, like, not every EV is going to catch fire. Like, you might want to do bazillion cars.
It's like a normal. Fast. It's like a car. It's like buying a normal car these days. You know, you can buy a brand new one and it'll be fine. And sometimes you can buy a brand new one and even if it's a brand new, it's still got issues with it. You know,
that guy with that Range Rover, that bore one, drove it out the door, out the door down the street, and then broke down. And he walked back and they had to go fix it. so it's stuff like that you know, that's I think one of the biggest. One of the biggest things that we need to really, really look into. Any final thoughts, gentlemen?
Buy a K car.
I don't know. I mean, Europe's really pushing for this all electric business, but is it going to happen? They can easily just not do it and just say no.
I mean, they've committed to it. There's companies like that have changed their whole structure. Volvo has said we're not doing anymore after certain dates. Like they're having to move with the times, which now could potentially it's a massive gamble, really. It's a massive gamble on these companies' behalf. So Volvo's doing it. Volvo's committed to it. A few other companies are committing to it. So, you know, it's either the best gamble that they'll ever make, or it's going to put them in a hole. And
oil companies quiet. So why are oil companies so quiet? This is going to take a lot of their business, a lot of their profits.
Well, here's the thing. I think they realize that they've probably done the math and said it's not the answer.
Well, I think the key to that is the development of synthetic fuels. I mean, if we could find a renewable, I mean, Porsche are doing a lot of work in that area.
Yeah.
E-fuels and things like that. So, I mean, it's sort of the great white hope, I think, in a way, but there'll still be a lot of dead electric cars lying around, I think, if that happens. You know, if we can find a sustainable way to produce an environmentally friendly petrol replacement or substitute, I think that would be. I think the person that does that will be a very wealthy man.
Well, it's like there is also E85, which we've discussed before on the show, which is corn juice essentially. Like that is just, you know, proper ethanol. And cars can run on it. There's cars come from the factory that can run on it. Like, you know, Holden had things, and Dodge and a few other companies have had cars that you can buy, like flex fuel cars that can run on excuse me, straight at E85.
Can you run a W123 on old cooking oil? Wasn't that the
diesel?
Yeah, I remember that.
It's been done.
Yeah. You can't do it on the high pressure common rail, more modern diesels, but those old school ones like my 190 or those old 300s or 240s, yeah. Refined veggie oil, basically.
You could just basically park out the back of Flaky Jake's on a Friday night.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Yeah, park out Fish and Chip Shop, just get a good siphon and a good strainer.
Problem is, everywhere you drive, you get this waft of the fish and chip oil, and you're like, whoa, hungry, a little bit hungry.
Lamari rings and all, yeah.
Get me a turkey Twizzler right now.
You're better off just hanging out McDonald's or something like that, because they're like pumping through oil.
Oh, yeah. I honestly think I think biofuels and fuels that are man-made, that are sustainable and renewable and environmentally friendly to an extent, I think that's where we should be investing our money, to be fair. Because I don't think internal combustion is dead, and everyone's like, oh yeah, forget about it, it's over, don't buy an EV. But you know, the rate at which the housing prices won, but also the inflation and the electricity bills are flying through the roof. You know, it's not, the savings aren't going to be great. Like it's going to take a lot longer to get the inverted commas benefit, because you're paying so much more extra for an electric version of a certain car, for it to be worthwhile at this point, because it's kind of evening out. So at this point, you just say, well, I might as well just buy an internal combustion engine.
Yeah, I don't think there's one answer to solve the problem. There's not one solution, it's multiple things.
But that's what they're thinking. They're saying, they're trying to say, oh, this is the solution, this is the only solution we're giving you. And it's pushing this agenda on us that I'm just like, it's not the answer. Like it just can't be. Watch this space. Scotty, you're doing the quiz tonight.
Oh, cryptic cars?
Yeah.
Well, here we go.
Cryptic time. So I've got 10 questions as usual. Some of them could be tricky. So let's see.
Surprise.
I wouldn't. I'd expect nothing less of you, Scotty.
Yes. So make sure you got your cryptic minds plugged in.
Cryptic hat on.
Yep. Put your cryptic hat on. Plug it in.
So are they all cryptic, or are there some other ones mixed in?
Nope. All cryptic.
All cryptic. Okay.
Nope. And the last two are movies, car-related movies. So that's how I've done it. I thought we'll go a little bit old-fashioned and just stick with some cryptic.
All right, Scotty, I'm keeping score for you.
Thank you very much, Maddie. Whew, here we go. Question one, the Ford Messenger.
Ed. Ford Courier.
There we go. Well done. One down. Okay, this is one where I think we might get stumped, because it's new to me, but, I mean, you're probably all wiser and smarter than me, so we'll see. Question two. The Toyota above, or you could say over or beyond. They all mean the same thing for this car.
Matthew? Is that the Avalon?
Nope.
Sold in Australia? Well, not sold.
It was an import, but now Australia, yeah.
Ed. Camry.
Nope. Not the Camry.
Well, that rules out two fine automobiles, the Avalon and the Camry.
Ooh, that's a good one.
All right, David, Matt, Tyrone, what do you got?
Oh, I'm out.
Oh, no, you're out, Matt. Tyrone and Darway.
Toyota Orion?
Not the Orion.
David, up to you.
That's three fine cars. No Camry, no Orion, no Avalon.
Forward or over? I don't know if it means it, but is it Prado?
Nah, not Prado.
Corolla.
No, not Corolla.
Well, we're out now. What is it, Scott?
The Supra.
Oh.
Supra means something above, like next level above.
Okay.
Okay, that's very cryptic, that one.
Yes, it was very cryptic. When I searched it up and had a bit of a read, I was like, oh, that's very, very interesting. That should stump a lot of people.
And you were correct.
Oh, it stumped me. All right, so we're moving to question three. Suzuki respect or admiration?
Matthew? Vitara.
Nope.
Ed. Hizashi.
Nope.
That's a blade.
Grand Vitara.
What was it, Suzuki?
Suzuki. Well, what was it, Scotty? Suzuki what?
Suzuki respect or admiration.
David, Ignis.
No, not Ignis.
I nearly said Ignis. I thought maybe that's wacky enough to be true.
You can give people a lot of self.
Self-Bellano?
Nope.
Bellano. Bellino sounds like some sort of ham substitute that you would have.
Yeah. Slap it on your sandwich.
Get up your Bellino sandwich.
You want a Bellino sandwich? I made all with Bellino. Who's going to eat it all? You Ignis.
It's up to you.
I don't know.
So it's not Vitara. It's not Grand Vitara. It's not Ignis. It's not Kizashi.
What the hell is it?
And you give people a lot of self.
Swift?
Nope.
No, I was going to say Swift.
What else is there? They don't make any other. Is it cappuccino? That's a drink?
It's a drink.
What else is there?
I'm just trying to think.
What are not the APV or the carry van, I'm guessing.
Nope.
What is that about misery, Scotty?
All right, come on, Scotty. What is it?
Esteem.
Esteem?
Esteem.
Esteem. We never got that.
Esteem.
That's not a car.
Somebody did.
It's a car, but
not in Australia, Scott. We're in Australia. I
can't do everything Australia, unfortunately.
Yes, you can.
Australia's a bit boring.
Score check, David won, the rest of us in zero.
You don't get all the cool stuff.
Edwin.
Right. Yeah, I'm on one, yeah.
I'm having a bloody hair.
It's taking that's it out of you.
Let's go back to something. Let's
this
go back
is public to scoring, right?
We'll go to something a bit more simpler for everybody.
Yeah, thanks.
And was sold, you know, everywhere.
Good.
It was popular. We should know this. The Ford Protector or Chaperone?
Matthew? That'll be Escort.
Yes, Escort.
Oh, nice. I thought you were going to have the Ford Prostitute.
The Escort Prostitute.
Mm-hmm.
It's up there with the LTD. Okay, number five. I'm not sure where this one was sold. I just was interested that it was actually a name. The Isuzu Urge or Compulsion?
Ooh.
Matthew? The Impulse.
Yeah, the Impulse.
Oh, never heard.
I'm not sure if we got it or I hadn't searched that one, but... what was it, the 90s, I think, that one? And on the back, I was having a look at the picture, it's just got like a big writing on the back. There's Impulse.
Impulse, yeah.
Sounds like a deodorant.
It does.
You could have said the deodorant.
The Isuzu Lynx Africa.
Yeah.
Okay. Unfortunately, we're going to America on this one. And you can either say Chrysler or Plymouth because they both came out the same. So it's up to you. But it's the Chrysler or Plymouth, fast or quickly?
David? That'd be the Fury?
Not the Fury, unfortunately. No.
Can we get an era, Scotty?
Ooh, let me just quickly take a look for you. Maybe we'll scrap that question.
Oh.
When I was searching, I probably should have looked a little bit more into it. You probably won't be able to get it because it was a concept car. I'll try and give you more hints, maybe, like some easy hints. It's a word you can picture like Italian saying to someone to hurry up.
Pronto.
There you go.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, you get the point.
Yeah, that's 1 point.
Sorry about that. I should have checked that one a little bit more. I didn't realize it was going to be a concept car.
Yeah, it's all good, Scott. I knew it.
Yeah.
You got the point.
Yeah.
All what's good. Aluminium idiom? Shenanigans. That's shenanigans.
Of course, shenanigans.
Where I was getting it, I didn't think that they would be putting up concept cars like that. Where I was getting my info and car names.
Yeah, I always thought it was cool when like and you've seen it, the bad Italian guy in a movie, he picks up from he's like, pronto. Like, I thought that was the coolest thing ever. So imagine saying pronto in your pronto, which would be very, very cool.
Okay. Too bad it looks pretty good.
Pronto, and I don't like that.
You can have a look at it. All right. Question 7. Let's move back to Ford. The Ford beat or rhythm?
Oh, geez, that is a tricky one. And is this an Australian delivered car?
Just checking that now. I think it might be.
It was once sold in Lithuania between March 72 and March 70.
It lasted for 10 years.
Oh.
And my other clue is that it was a replacement for the Ford Fairmont.
David? Not Futura.
No. Nah. Good guess, though.
Didn't replace the Ford Fairmont, but it was
I would have said Fairmont Gear for a laugh, because but anyway, that's.
Yeah, it was only sold in America.
It's the Ford Who Cares, Scott.
Ford.
A beat or temp?
Oh, David.
Oh, Matthew.
Tempo.
Yeah,
Tempo. Yeah. I was just about to say.
Gave it away. Yeah, sorry, you know, you got it, Matty. I already.
It's all right, David. I gave you the point. It's all good.
I had one of those. It was a horrible thing.
Yeah, it wouldn't have been a great car at all.
It looks absolutely horrible.
Yeah.
Box of misery.
Or a tempo.
That's what it looks like. Yeah, that's what it looks like. All right, back to one that we should all know. Question 8. The Nissan Goliath.
Jeez. Matthew.
Goliath or Colossus? Yes, Matthew.
Oh, I know.
Was it the Gladiator?
Mm.
Oh, no, Titan. I gave it away. Oh, sorry. No. But, I get the point. Were you going to say Titan, David?
Yeah, it's the big U, isn't it?
Yeah. I'll give that to you, David, because I shouldn't have said
No.
I shouldn't have said
it. David, get it. All right, now we jump into 2 movies. So we've got question 9 is a movie and question 10 is a movie. They shouldn't be too tricky, these ones.
Score check, Scotty, first. Myself 2, David 2, Ed and Ed 2. Tyrone, you have to score. Come on, Tyrone, get on the board.
Oh, anyone's game.
Anyone's game.
Yeah, it could finish as a draw across the board.
Come on, Tyrone, let's do that. Let's all get 2.
Edward's like, yeah.
Okay, question 9. Sprinting on
David.
Yes.
Running on empty.
Yes.
Oh, I was gonna say that.
Yep.
I didn't even get to finish that one.
Very good.
Yeah. But
question 10.
Also a great Jackson Browne song.
True.
But I'm just showing my age.
Yeah. Running on empty. Dun, dun, dun.
That's the one.
Running high. Something like that.
Question 10. The final one. Another movie. The Automobiles That Devoured Paris.
David.
Matthew.
David.
The Cars That Ate Paris.
Yeah. I was going to say that.
Peter Weir was responsible for my nightmares as a child because there was a Volkswagen in it that was just covered with spikes.
Yeah, there was. Yes.
Yeah, it was freaky. And I can remember seeing it being absolutely horrified when I was a kid.
Yeah.
It was 73 or something. It came out, something like that. And watching it again about, 10 years ago, I suppose, and thinking, yeah, it wasn't that bad. It was so chintzy and horrible.
I remember watching it as a kid or as a teenager and thinking, it's quite scary, that film.
Yeah. But all these things that all could set out to, you know, kill you. This beetle with all these spikes over it was pretty scary as a 10-year-old.
Yeah.
Mine was Who Framed Roger Rabbit at the end when the guy gets run over by the steamroller.
Oh,
that petrified me. And if it was ever on, Mum would never let me watch the end because I'd freak out. I don't know why. It just freaked the hell out of me.
I want to be steamrolled, Scotty.
Like, for me, I don't know if Scotty, if you remember this or Tyrone, because we grew up with these early DOS games, but it was Commander Keen. I don't know if you ever played Commander Keen. Anyway, in one of the games, I think it was game four. In Goodbye Galaxy series, so it's a little side-scrolling game. This game, right? But basically, there's an underwater level, and you go underwater, and then all of a sudden, you see this massive fish. They call the dope fish, and it comes to eat you, and it eats you, and then it eats you, and it looks up, and when it catches you, it eats you, and then it does this weird face. I'm still getting chills now. It terrifies the crap out of me. So like, it haunted me as a kid. I could never play the level. I'd have to ask my uncle. I'm like, Uncle Nabil, can you come do this level? He's like, oh, I couldn't do it. It scared the crap out of me. Every time I'd see one, I'd be like, it's there. And I've seen it. It became a bit of a meme. And the makers that made it did Doom, I think. And then they put a cryptic version of it in Doom, and you can see it in there. And I'm like, I remember playing. I'm like, oh, it's haunting me. It's here. Yeah, that still scares me. Is there anything for you as a kid that still kind of gives you the ick? It's like, oh yeah, it still scares you.
Not as a kid, but not recently. But I'd say five years ago, I was playing Resident Evil on VR.
Mm-hmm.
And
possibly scare you about that. I mean, come on, really.
Nah, that game, like, it literally, like, the VR is taking it to the next level, like, put you in there, like, literally in there. And yeah, I was playing it, and there was like, obviously, we're in this room, and we're going around the corner, and then there's this person that you're trying to hide from who's obviously a zombie. And then they tell you to like turn to do something, and you turn that, and she just pops straight into your face. That's
you're like, nah, that's it.
And there's another game actually when I was a kid, there was another game, Castle of Wolfenstein. Playing that at night, loud headphones, and you're just there, and then out of nowhere, like, something happens.
That used to be my bonding sessions with my dad, playing Wolfenstein. I hit the space bar and opened the doors for him, and he'd move around and do all the shooting. So obviously now goes up the door, and I'm the one pressing the door and stuff. Yeah, there are times where you do jump.
Yeah.
It's more like a maze, so you're making your way through, and all of a sudden someone pops up.
But yeah, nowadays, obviously you had the screen in front of you, so like you could see around you, you know. But now with VR, it's just you're like, you're in there, you know. you're like literally in there, and like it just comes straight in at you, and
I took Steph to and you know, we should all do this. I took this place called Zero Latency.
Yeah, I've been there.
And basically, it was only her and I that were there. We went there early before we went out for dinner. And you were wearing this headset, and you got a gun.
Yeah.
Anyway, I just hear her, because you can talk to her, like, she's got like a headpiece on, and she obviously we can't see anything else except the game. And all of a sudden, I just hear her screaming. She's like, ah! And she's trying to kill all these zombies, and she's like on the floor, like, trying to hide. I'm like, get up, survive.
It is good. It's funny. It's funny watching people play it from the outside.
Oh, it's hilarious.
You just see them like walking around, like, looking up at things.
It's good fun. It's good.
And they've like the viewing area, like they come up pretty close to you.
They do. They're like right there.
Yeah.
But anyway, the score check on the quiz, myself and Edwin on 2 apiece. Tyrone wasn't yet to score, and tonight's winner, by beating me in the last 2 questions, was Mr. David Prince. Well done.
Well done, David.
The movie ones. I see so few movies in their entirety.
Just remember, David, green is nice.
Green is nice.
From Running on Empty. Mm-hmm. I always remember that. What color is it? It's green. Green. Green is nice.
Green is nice.
cool movie.
Soothing.
That's what I remember watching as a kid, and there's like, you know, the scene where the main people get it on, and my uncle just he's like, stopped it, fast forwarded it like a minute, and played it again. So I was, he's like, you don't see that bit, you're too young. I'm like, ah, okay. So anyway, gentlemen, I think that's a podcast.
Very nice. Thank you, Matthew.
Mm-hmm.
good discussion, gentlemen. Any car talk top tips about the EV space? If you want to buy an EV, do it. Just don't park it in a house. Is that a car talk top tip?
You just charge it away from your house.
Yeah. That's what you gotta do.
Just get an extension cord.
Next door.
Get it next door. Yeah. Leave it out on the road. And that's it.
Yeah.
Plug it in.
She'll be right. Scotty's golf tip of the week.
Golf tip of the week.
Gotta organize a game, Scotty.
You do. You really do.
Wood end's good. Wood end's really good.
Yeah. End is good and cheap and quiet.
Yeah.
You know, I'll come with you guys just to watch how miserable myself would be.
But you think it is, but one, trust me, I thought it as well. But once you pick it up, it's enjoyable.
As we said last week, I should be technically a pro at this point because you know, I've learned how to grip the shaft. I've learned how to do all the different golf techniques, you know, properly. So I think I'll be good.
You should be pretty good, I reckon.
Definitely. But your tip of the week, Scotty?
Control your anger.
Yeah, it's a good one.
It's tough. Golf, do you mean, or just generally?
Generally, yeah.
It's tough at the beginning, but if you can control that and just think about the next hole or the next shot and stuff, it makes a massive difference.
I nearly let go of a few clubs into the lake.
I threw one. This is going years back now, but I loved the golf club and it got stuck up in the tree. I spent probably a good 30 minutes trying to see it and find it, and then launched that golf club a mile further than the ball went.
David Prince and Mr. Edward Bunting, you guys do a podcast which is very soon to come back.
Soon.
Very soon. Very soon.
Pending a coffee, supposedly. Yeah, it's called Auto Retro. You can find it on YouTube and on Spotify. Pretty much that's where you can find it. Yeah, where we talk to people about the cars of their lives. Season 2 coming soon.
Tyrone, anything you want to spruik?
No.
I'm getting married. I'm better than everyone else. Green Falcon, screw you.
You want to buy it, Ed?
No.
15 grand.
I'm saving myself for Alum's straight gas car.
Egas.
Egas. I'm saving myself for that.
It blows up.
Mate, that's a solution. Everything on LPG, that's a solution. Like and share our Facebook pages, Car Talk TRQUE with Manny J. If you miss any of our previous episodes, they're all up on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasting apps. So don't forget to subscribe, rate, and review to us there. Check out our merch, go to our Teespring store, go to teespring.com.
New merch dropped.
And new merch dropped, but it got dropped off. So I'll have to figure out a way to put that back on.
Scamp camp, too rude for everyone. Scamp camp.
Virtually at this point. So that is that. And thanks to our patrons, go to patreon.com/ car talk podcast to see our stuff. We are also on YouTube. So go to car talk podcast on YouTube, three separate words. We've got 57 subscribers now, which is
wow.
I know. So keep the subs coming.
Keep
the likes coming. It's been really, really good. Got more content coming up soon. Gentlemen, honor as always. And I'll see you later. Take it easy.
Ciao, ciao.
Bye. See ya.